listen, listen, listen. God is speaking to us.
Kairos Milwaukee United Church of Christ presents Which Parade Will We Join? A reflection for Palm Sunday by the Reverend Gene Randall Bodman, presented on Sunday, April 9th, 2017.
Our first reading for the day is the reading for Palm Sunday from Matthew chapter 21, the first 11 verses. When they had come near Jerusalem and had reached Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, just say this, 'The Lord needs them,' and he will send them immediately." This took place to fulfill what had been spoken through the prophet, saying, "Tell the daughter of Zion, 'Look, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey.'" The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put their cloaks on them, and he sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest heaven." When he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was in turmoil, asking, "Who is this?" The crowds were saying, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee." I was tempted to call this reflection, "I hate a parade," but it seemed disrespectful to have that in the bulletin and therefore in the church file forever and ever, as the title of a reflection to open Holy Week. But the truth is, I do hate parades. I always have. My husband loves them. His mom was a band leader. But not me. Always have hated them. I hated going to the 4th of July parade and the Memorial Day parade. It was hot and loud and noisy. My memory is of rushing to get there early, sitting on a grubby curb, while our parents sat behind us in the comfy lawn chairs, talking happily with friends they saw only a few times a year. Sometimes we would have chosen our place well, and a band would stop and play right in front of us, or some of the fancy cars would stop. That was nice. But mostly, parades conjure up for me memories of itchiness and boredom. And then, of course, there is the Mummers Parade, that odd Philadelphia tradition in which fancy dress, fantastic scenes, and storytelling are uniquely joined with racist stereotypes and people actually performing in blackface in public. It's so horrifying you can't look away. And Palm Sunday parades, those deeply sincere reenactments that many churches indulge in, I found those mortifying. In the Presbyterian church in which I grew up, everyone without mobility issues would gather outside in the courtyard with our bulletin inserts clutched in one hand and our palm branches in the other. The windows of the church would be flung wide open and the organist would begin to play one of the Palm Sunday processional hymns. And with the choir leading the way, we would begin our procession around the church property, palms waving high. We'd wend our way around the side of the church in full view of the full parking lot of the next door restaurant, the one that was chock full of people enjoying brunch. Then around back, across the cemetery with its colonial era graves and its uneven ground, through the playground, the parking lot, and so back to the front doors. By the time the leaders got to the wide double doors of the sanctuary, those of us in the back were usually almost a verse behind in the hymn and mumbling rather badly. Some were just frankly chatting with each other, and almost everyone was wet and a bit muddy. This was Philadelphia. I hated the whole thing, and I could never get anyone to satisfactorily explain to me why on earth we were behaving in this manner. I did have one helpful Sunday school teacher suggest that it was so onlookers would be curious and want to join us. So, she concluded, I should really change my attitude, keep sweet, her favorite advice to girls, and start singing joyfully. Right. Because who in 20th century suburban Philadelphia wouldn't see a group of people all looking vaguely embarrassed, tromping around their own church building, no matter what the weather, singing a 19th century hymn, badly and out of sync, and think to themselves, there, those people, they seem to have it all together. I want to be one of them. Now, to be fair, we may well have impressed one or two people by the sheer earnestness of our leaders. What a relief it was for me then to discover that the first Palm Sunday procession, which came to be called Jesus's triumphal entry, was not so much a triumphant parade as a planned form of public critique of the parade going on across town. Jesus and his disciples were just a few of the many thousands, some historians estimate as many as 200,000, of the people entering Jerusalem for the Passover. Jerusalem, the city of God, the city that was both the heart of the Jewish faith and the place that broke the heart of the faith. Jerusalem, the capital of ancient Israel, beginning with the reign of King David, the city that held the temple, the place of forgiveness and the certainty of God's presence. Jerusalem, the city that within 50 years of David's reign had become part of the domination system of the day, and which was, in the time of Jesus, complicit with the domination system of Rome. Into this complicated, many-layered human city, full of the people's longing both for God and for earthly power, into this city, the people poured in their thousands. They came to celebrate the liberation of the people from Egypt, another earlier system of domination. And in order to keep an eye on things, to make sure that no rebellion sprung up, the governor, Pontius Pilate, went up from his splendid city of Caesarea on the sea into Jerusalem for the feast, not to honor it, but to monitor it. Marcus Borg and John Dominic Crossan have imagined the scene for us in their thought-provoking book, The Last Week. Imagine the imperial procession's arrival in the city, a visual panoply of imperial power, cavalry on horses, foot soldiers, leather armor, helmet, weapons, banners, golden eagles mounted on poles, sun glinting on metal and gold. The marching of feet, the creaking of leather, the clinking of the bridles, the beating of the drums and the swirling of dust. The eyes of the silent onlookers, some curious, some awed, some resentful. It is in response to this show of imperial power flowing into the city from the west that Jesus plans his own entry into the city, from the Mount of Olives to the east. Go into the city, he says to two of his disciples, and bring me the donkey that you will find there. As Rome flaunts its imperial power, we are going into the city to make a different statement about a different kind of kingdom. We won't go armed and intimidating, but with joyful reference to the kingship of David and the coming king who will fulfill the promise. Matthew quotes the prophet Zechariah, "Tell the daughter of Zion, look, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The rest of the Zechariah passage, which is not quoted, but which the people would have known, details what kind of king this will be. He will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the war horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be cut off, and he shall command peace to the nations. No more chariots, no more war horses, no more armor. Jesus' procession deliberately countered what was happening on the other side of the city. Pilate's procession embodied the power, glory, and violence of the empire that ruled the world. Jesus' procession embodied an alternative vision, the kingdom of God. It was a vision of peace, plenty, and prosperity, not only for some, but for all. Now, as many of you know, I spent several years doing ministry primarily with children and youth. And during that time, it was my job to organize the palm parades. Parades, plural, we reenacted both. We had a Roman soldier parade and a Jesus people parade. It was usually pretty easy to recruit children or teens to play the roles of Jesus and the donkey because one is, you know, the Lord of all mankind, and the other, well, costumes. After that, it got harder to convince the children to be on the Jesus side of the equation. The Roman soldiers had tunics, cool helmets, and most of all, styrofoam swords. How could robes, palms, and sandals hope to compete? There is just no satisfying way to duel with a palm branch. In a world in which displays of military might are lauded with breathless adoration, where bombs are described on national television as beautiful, I wonder if the decision of which parade to join is any easier for us now as adults. Like Jesus and his followers, we live in dangerous times. As we walk through Holy Week together this year, please join me in praying that we each find the way to join the parade that calls for peace. That calls for peace for all the nations, that we may be strengthened as individuals and as a church to work for the way of Jesus, the way that creates justice.